Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parents in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parent in Hell with...
Okay, so Rob Beckett.
Rob Beckett.
And Josh Widdicombe.
Josh Widdicombe.
Okay, and now the girls just naturally need to say it. Go on. Say Rob Beckett.
Rob Beckett.
And Josh Widdicombe.
Josh
Widdicombe. Say again, Josh.
Wickerton.
Wickerton?
Yeah.
Great thing about the length of that one, Rob, is as it was happening, I thought we're going to have to do less than normal on this show because that was... I could see it was still going on because I can watch the progress bar. I was like, fucking hell, there's still some to go.
I used to do Zoom corporates in COVID, but you do gigs to companies and then I'd always get a little bit of information about them. And there's one bloke going, oh, didn't you like poo yourself on the way home from something? You went, yeah. And he just told a 5-minute anecdote and I just listened. And I went, I was thinking that I need to send him a split of this. I couldn't believe it.
It's like booking Miriam Margolyes. Whenever... There'll be certain people that come on the last leg and I think, fucking hell, come part two, I don't need to speak again. This is brilliant. You're one of them, Rob.
I know, very much Professor Bubbles get drafted in when someone's on to talk about their really, you know, deep emotional film on a chat show.
Yeah,
I'm there,
exactly.
And then I have to try and pick the mood up with a little anecdote about baby powder or something. Talcum powder. How are you, Josh?
Oh, do you not want to know? I'll just... It's fine. It's not your fault. Hi. Adore my bi-weekly check-ins with PH Podcast and all the real-life juggle struggle sharing. Is that a phrase?
Juggle struggle. Wow.
Can you juggle, Rob?
No, I can't actually. And I've just always thought... I'm quite boringly efficient. And I think, when will I need that? I've got a lot to... there's a lot I don't do. You know what I mean? And I think there's other things I need to get on top of before juggling.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm ruling it out, but it's not up there on my to-do list.
On juggling, Rob. So I'm doing Glastonbury in 3 weeks.
Are you doing juggling? Is that how you get on? The special act?
No, but I'm on in the cabaret. The comedians get put in the cabaret tent. So there's all kinds of like other stuff going on.
Shitter stuff.
Yeah, like there'll be a guy spinning plates. Anyway, get this. I just thought I've got to share this because it's perfect content for. So I'm sure they'll find out that I'm mentioning it on the podcast. I've been polite to them, but I think it's a bad plan. My friends are taking their 3-month-old to Glastonbury.
Pricks. Idiots. Absolute idiot. I went to Glastonbury once. I hated it. No offense.
Yeah,
it was awful. It's just too big.
It's not for you, Rob.
Just loads of people pretending they're having the greatest time of their life.
It is the greatest time of your life.
Do you know why it's so good for you? Because the rest of your life's so shit, Josh. Okay?
Oh,
so
you have these says 4 days. Says the man who spends 40 weeks a year on holiday to avoid living in Zone 5.
Touche. Fair point. That is a fair point. Yes, I do. There isn't much to do where I live, but I've got a drive though, Josh. I've got a drive. Yeah, sure. I don't ever leave my drive to go anywhere because there's nowhere good to go. But I've got a drive. Okay. No, I just found Glastonbury a bit smug for me, Josh. I couldn't deal with it.
Yeah. That's why I love it.
But there are people there though with babies with them stupid ear defenders on. But it feels like it's a bit of a aren't I crazy badge of honour taking your kid to Glastonbury.
I don't think these people even are doing that. I just think they don't realise how difficult it's going to be.
Have they been before?
Yeah, they've been before. Right? They've got a cottage off site. They're gonna be taking the baby home every night and then coming back on to site. Can you imagine being in a field of 100,000 people watching Paul McCartney and you've got a baby that needs changing?
Yeah, but everyone smells of shit, so I'll be fine.
Oh, this is lovely, good stuff. This is really good stuff.
It's actually quite good. It's basically the home of three-month-old humans. Now, I just had a bad experience at Glastonbury, so maybe I'm skewed, but I got booked to do it. And I don't know why I just did it because I wanted gigs. I did it years ago and I got booked. I thought at midday, it was midnight. I got there at 11 a.m. had to wait for 12 hours and then I had to drive home. It was awful.
I'm on at 1:30 in the afternoon Friday.
I just can't be bothered camping. No. I don't know if it's like a working class thing, but I don't think working class people really like camping, because when you're working class you sort of do camping because you can't really afford to go away on holiday, and then you're not really doing it properly because you haven't got all the gear. And then I've just spent 20 years sharing a room with my brother. I don't want to sleep in a tent with him.
I'll be honest, we camped when I was a kid and I enjoyed it because I was a kid and you enjoy things like that when you're a kid. But my plan is to never camp until I die.
So you're not taking kids? You're just going, you and Rose?
Just going.
Babysit. That'll be fun though.
Yeah.
For you. I wouldn't like to do that. But then that's why we're different, isn't it, Josh? Different strokes.
Do you know what, Rob? That's what makes this podcast appeal across the board. Some people hate you. Some people hate me. It's perfect.
let's be clear about this. We are hated by a select number of the country. However, the ratios work. Whoever hates me likes you. And whoever hates you likes me. And as long as one of us doesn't talk for too long, they won't tap out.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's how this works.
Always disappointing when I meet a friend and they say that they like you, because it does make me worry about what they think about me.
I remember once in Edinburgh, there was a gig and there was a real rowdy, horrible stag do going in. And I was walking along with you and James Acaster and we was all going, oh God, this is going to be so tough, that it's going to be so bad, they're so drunk and rowdy. And you both went, you'll be all right, Rob. And I was like, what does that say about me? You basically just called them actual scum. Oh, state of them disgusting people. You'll be all right, Rob. Don't worry about it. Oh, sure. Fine.
You could handle yourself in the clubs.
To be fair, I did smash that gig. Same as when I did the Butlins comedy weekend.
Oh, my God. I died so hard at Butlins.
Did you?
Yeah.
That was me. And I felt like ringing up Stephen Mulward and going, let's go in on this together, because they are my people. I destroyed that gig. Late night gimp fight. Still say it's the hardest gig they've ever done. Going on Butlins after I did it.
Oh, my word.
They're sketches. They're brilliant, Late Night Gimp Fight, but as a Butlins goer...
It doesn't scream Butlins, does it?
No. But anyway, I don't know how we got onto that.
Sorry. Anyway, I was just telling you, I'll update you on these people with the three-month-old baby.
I just think it's a bad decision.
Yeah. Oh, Rob, it's an awful decision. And I can't wait to watch it unfold.
Well, there's nothing better than being away from your kids, watching people still be with them, but having no guilt.
Yeah. Tell you what I'm not doing, Rob.
Yeah.
Holding.
No,
absolutely not. No.
Also, you won't
way.
Be in a fit state to.
I won't be in a fit state to hold, Rob.
How long are you going for?
Thursday to Sunday morning.
Right, and then coming back Sunday morning. Oh, right, okay. Yeah, so Thursday, Friday.
I prioritise my child over Diana Ross, but not over Paul McCartney. Isn't that bad?
See, I just think, Josh, if you can get...
Children, even. I shouldn't have said child. What an idiot. That's it, bad.
Was it? Because you forgot you had two.
Oh, dear.
I hope you've got cover for two. Cover, is that how you call it? It's like we're not trying to get off a radio show. You got cover. Hi, yeah, Gary Davis in here
it.
For...
Tom Allen's doing it.
Tom Allen in here for Josh and Rose Widdicombe. We've got two lovely kids. We'll be keeping you updated. Here's Duran Duran.
If I said to you, Gary Davis is looking after my children for the next 3 days, would you be confident?
I'd trust him. Oh, thanks, yeah. Lou. Lou's just brought me a hot water with lemon and honey. And thanks, Lou.
I am. Great.
You are great. Thanks, babe. Thanks. Just a bit... Oh, that was quite a slam of the door.
That felt frosty, I'll be honest with you. I'd have that water quite swiftly, because I think the temperature will be lower than you think it's going to be, Rob.
Would you know what? It's a bit like, you know, like back in the day, it was a bit old school and sexist, where it's like, women used to make men tea, right? Yeah. You know, like my mum and dad's generation, older than that. Yeah. Like, and you know, it's that old classic, like, give us a cup of tea, and it's like, they just bring them food and drink and stuff, which is wrong, and it should be totally 50-50. But I feel like Lou's gone the complete other way. Whereas if ever I say, can I get a cup of tea? It's like, what? You're like, oh, right, no, it's just like, I'm in the middle of something and I've made you one earlier. Is it?
It's quite a loaded phrase, isn't it? Because of that. Because it's got those connotations of the olden days.
And my accent. Because my accent does feel like it could just be a cup of tea, babe.
Yeah.
Babe.
Eight sugars.
First year. I'm thirsty. I'm drying up here. cup of tea, babe. Do you know what I mean? It sounds bad, but I was literally, I've got a sore throat. I'm recording the pod and she was making a cup of tea and I said, can I have one? And yeah. I feel like I've been bad.
It's all right, Rob.
I haven't been bad.
No, you haven't been bad. You just feel like it's Macaulay Culkin's brother in Succession when he's trying to get Jerry to tell him off so he can have a wank. You feel like that guy.
What do you mean, feel like? I am that guy. You've got to do what you've got to do. So I don't remember what I was talking about. I know, so I was saying, if you're going away for 3 nights, I would just be inclined just to go somewhere you chill out and go to a spa or relax or go abroad to the seaside.
Do you want to know how excited I am, Rob? I've not been since 2016.
So what is it you're excited about at Glastonbury?
Rob, the last time I went was 2 days after Brexit.
Oh, it's going to hit you hard.
Last time I went, I was driven down by a Mr. Joe Beckett, the broccoli barber.
Yes! Yeah, my brother drove you down from last leg, didn't he?
Yeah, but now this is the first Glastonbury in a decade with no last leg on the Friday.
I think you're going to find it tough.
I think I'm going to find it tough, Rob.
I don't think you've got the sea legs for it.
I do want to know how excited I am every day. I just, when I get excited about things, Rob, the way I
you
talk
clap your
about
hands,
it,
or is that nerves?
No, that's nerves. When I get excited,
do
I
you
just
put water behind your ears?
No, that's nerves.
You do
as well.
Do that.
Yeah, I do that. Yeah. The bird bath.
You tap water on your fingers and put it behind your ears and you're nervous, don't you?
It's a pulse point. It's a pulse point.
Did you do that the first time you had sex with Rose? hold up, Rose. I'm a bit nervous. Feels like Live at the Apollo first time. Water behind your ears. Let's go. Get that hair wet. Clap the palms. Winner comes in.
Yeah, exactly. And he's out. But
water's still wet behind the ears. He's finished.
When I'm excited about something, Rob, all I do is I talk about the practicalities of it
logistics,
to people,
yeah.
The logistics the whole time. So I was just in the kitchen the other day. I said to Rose, so what drinks do you think you're going to drink on the different days of Glastonbury? And she's like, I don't care. You know, like when you...
I don't care about this.
You know, like when you fancy someone and you keep bringing them up in conversation. Like, I'll steer the conversation around to Glastonbury at all times.
You fancy Glastonbury?
I fancy Glastonbury. So all I do is, like, I'll look at the different stage times and then work out what I'm going to go and see.
So will you be strict with that when you get there?
No.
It's just
an
excitement thing about looking forward to it.
Let's be very clear. I'm not that guy. The way to do it is pick 3 or 4 things you definitely want to see that are your red lines. Everything else, go with the crowd, because it's better to be with your friends at something you're not that fussed about than be stood on your own at something you really care about, I think.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, if there's any listeners going to Glastonbury for the first time, I'll email in some questions and Josh can help, because you are a bit of an expert.
And do come and see me at 1:30 on Friday.
1:30 p.m. on Friday?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then you can really go for it. So you're going to be quite sober until then, aren't
you? I asked to go on first on Friday, Rob.
Well, enjoy it, Josh. I'm glad you've got that to look forward to.
I didn't intend to talk about it on this podcast.
So how you been, though? Because you had quite a stressful week.
It's been a very stressful week.
Let's talk kids
and cats. So there's been a lot of death chat in the... My daughter's just got into death. She's into Death and the Queen at the moment, obviously is a worrying combo at the moment as well, Rob, as you're aware.
I think she'll be all right, the Queen, but yeah, like, she's 96, so it is inevitable. Like, I know no one wants to talk about it. I don't want to seem disrespectful.
No, but, you know.
She's got 2 arms and 2 legs and she shits. She's human.
Exactly. I forgot you played the Jubilee. How did that go down? She's got 2 arms, 2 legs, and she shits. Here is Adam Lambert and Queen.
Here's Mabel.
Anyway, so my daughter's talking about death now, partly because, understandably, she asked Rose's mum what the signs were on benches. She was on a bench and she was like, what's that?
Yeah.
And her mum said, oh, that's someone who's died. This was their favourite bench. And then my daughter was asking us about death. And then she was like, is the Queen going to die? Are you going to die? Am I going to die? And you have to say yes, but in a very long time. And then she just looked at us.
But just don't say hurriedly.
Yeah, if you don't bloody shut up, you are, right?
yes, you are! Move!
So she was like, am I going to die? And you go, yeah, but... years away, so far away.
Oh, God. Oh, this is hot. It's so awkward.
Then she looked at us quite sadly and she said, but I don't have a favourite bench.
Well, now she's under pressure.
Now she thinks, shit, I need to choose a bench for when I die.
I don't like any benches, always too hard.
No, I haven't got a favourite bench, of course not. I never sit on a bench.
Give me a cushioned gardenware.
Are you going to get your name put on a swing chair in a garden?
The egg chair in the garden, just put it in the middle of a park. Rob Beckett's favourite chair.
But death's been in the air because the cat. So Beryl. So last time I spoke to you, had she been taken into the vet by this point?
Mm.
Yeah, so she was overnighting at the vet. So we took her in, blood tests, came back, then they phoned us up. They were like, she needs to come in.
Yes.
I took her in, quite confident because they'd been quite positive on the phone. When I got in there, the vet was not positive. Her kidney reading, whatever it is meant to be 100.
Yeah.
And it was 1,100.
Is that good or bad? She got really good kidney, really bad one.
What I'm saying is she's superhuman.
Her kidney's great. That's not the problem. So that's bad
really
kidney.
Bad. She stayed in for a night. Then they phoned me. They did some blood tests and they were like, so she's a goner, basically.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Well, don't worry. We think maybe you could bring her home. Palliative care for a few months, which is, you know,
a few months. You don't want a cat dying in your house, do you?
No, Rob. And we'd see how it goes. And they were like, all right, okay, well, it is what it is. Grim. Yeah. They were like, we'll keep her in for another night. Do you want us to do you've got insurance, so do you want us to do a scan tomorrow just to see what it is?
Yeah.
I mean, pointless, but we've got insurance, so we might as well try and make a bit of our money back.
Yeah, let the vet earn.
Yeah, exactly.
If someone's going to be happy about this situation, let the vet earn. Do you know what they love? Vets love all this, don't they? They love deep pockets and big hearts.
The moment they hear you've got insurance, it's like a fucking cash point for them, mate. Anyway.
Even the Churchill dog goes around with a limp. I'm not paying out.
The next morning, they phone up after the scan. They're like, actually, we can do something.
Fucking hell. I mean, surely do a scan first.
Well, it turns out she's got kidney stones in her tubes, so blocking the kidney to the bladder.
Yeah.
Right? They're basically like, we have to operate on her. She'll have to go under the knife.
Operation? On a cat's
An operation.
Tubes?
Yeah, including a blood transfusion, because she's anemic. So they're rushing cat's blood across London. Right? They have to put in a bypass of the tube, a plastic bypass of the tube, right? If I could say one thing now, Rob, get pet insurance. Because otherwise we'd have had a very different...
For an op.
So, our pet insurance premium is we got up to $7,000.
Yeah.
And we ended up paying 500 quid because we went over our
$7,500. Jesus Christ.
Isn't that mental? Basically... I was speaking to someone, they were like, yeah, we were told by like the person that sold us the cat, you'd save money if you just put the money aside in a bank account every month and then paid your vet's bills out of that. Mm. And that is probably true. But, right,
yeah,
you'd end up at some point having to make the decision as to whether you spend that money on the cat.
Yes.
We'd have had to decide, are we going to go on holiday with this or are we going to try and save the life of our cat? 80% chance of survival.
I love my cat. So it's 80% chance of survival once they do the operation for $7,500.
Yeah.
I don't think I could spend $7,500 on my cat. But if you've done, we've got pet insurance, but if you do it pet insurance, it makes it easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. There was no decision. It was a very stressful period.
So how is Beryl?
Well, she was in there for 8 days, Rob.
What, the operation?
No wonder it was so expensive. It was cheap at half the price.
Oh, so she had the operation, was in there for 8 days.
8 days, Jeez. Right, afterwards, recovering on fluids.
Oh, my God.
One point, phoned up, she was on ketamine, having the time of her life.
Oh, my God. Ask her to bring some home for Glastonbury. $7,500, well spent.
Yeah, exactly.
She's on ketamine.
She was on ketamine.
Ketamine?
Oh, yes, please.
It's nice, isn't it?
Oh, it's really good. No wonder you can win over those stag doos at Butlins. But... Oh. It's been a very... I've been surprised at how emotionally affected I've been by a cat.
You're really into your cats, aren't you? Like...
Well, I'm not that... No, Rose is really into her cats.
Right, yeah.
I thought I was pretty, like, cool about it. Rob, I almost cried when we went out for dinner on Saturday night because I felt like we shouldn't be doing it while she was in hospital.
Now, that is mental. That's too much. I know you're a very caring person, but there's nothing you're not eating.
I don't
think
I was
help
caring. I think I was just
a bit overwhelmed.
I think it was just a bit overwhelmed. I almost cried in my neighbours the dumplings. It was a disaster.
In My Neighbours the Dumplings? What?
That's the name of the cafe, the restaurant.
Oh, right, In My Neighbours the Dumplings.
No, we were in My Neighbours. It's called My Neighbours the Dumplings.
My Neighbours the Dumplings. That's a weird name, isn't it? You East London lot are crazy. It's mad out there. But your cat's all right now, Ben. Oh, is she home?
I had to go and pick her up. They've put her in this kind of very tight T-shirt. Let me send it to you. Because she's not... So instead of giving her the thing around the head, they now give them a tight T-shirt so they don't lick their scar.
Because what we had for Fred when he had his nuts chopped off. They don't give you the cone anymore. They just give you a tight T-shirt.
She's a very furry cat. It looks absolutely absurd. I've sent you a picture of it. Oh, no, I've sent it to you and Romesh.
She looks like she's been rolled up for like a burrito.
I don't know what Romesh is going to make of that. That was a different group.
But it looks weird. It looks weird. It looks like a tail's actually leading the body.
Yeah. The tail is bigger than the body.
Like it's like a Diplodocus.
Yeah, we'll put it on. I mean, it's absolutely absurd.
Oh, bless her. She looks like a little fire. Like, she look, do you know what she looks like? She looks like she's wearing a Liverpool kit.
Yeah.
Ale, she, ale, oh ale.
We've got to keep her in a
kidney,
in
kidney,
a, in
kidney.
A room.
I got stones in my tubes. Do you have to take that off for her to have a wee?
No. Got her bits are exposed. Yeah.
Her bits are exposed. Oh, poor old Beryl. Oh, blimey, that's stressful.
We still don't know if she's going to be all right.
Oh, no.
She
oh,
has
God,
to
sorry.
Live in a... We've got to keep her in one room for 7 days.
Why?
Because she can't be, like, jumping around because of her scar.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Have you got a room where she's got nothing she can get on? It's like, what room have you got in your house where there's no surfaces?
Well, and if there are, it's full of knickknacks.
Exactly right. But, like, what room would you keep a cat in if you didn't want it to jump on anything?
Downstairs toilet.
It's too small, Rob. You can't do that to a cat.
Well, I'm trying to think of a room that had nothing... But there's still, like, a toilet seat you could jump on.
Yeah. It's awful. It's impossible.
Oh, no. So how have the kids been, though, during this?
Well, obviously, my son, who's one, doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, obviously. Keeps grabbing
my daughter. My daughter's not really... she's a bit, like, knocked by it, but I think she realises... We don't want to say she's going to be all right, because we don't know she's going to be all right. Do you know what I mean? You don't want to make promises that you then have to go back on.
She's all right today.
She's all right today. Enjoy her while you can. That's how you do it.
How's Beryl? Look, she's here.
Yeah, she's here in a very weird outfit.
Oh, well, that's good. At least it's slightly better news than you thought it was going to be.
God, it's been a weird old week, but there we go. My daughter's ill now.
Your daughter's ill? What's wrong with her?
Oh, temperature of 39.5. Bloody hell.
Fucking hell, that's hot, isn't it? You cook an egg on her head.
Yeah, it was mental. It's mental. But, you know,
is she all right now?
She's ill today. She's watching a lot of Waffle the Wonder Dog.
Waffle. Waffle. How's that song go?
Waffle doggy. So good.
Well, it's a good one.
Such a clever dog. Such a clever dog you are.
Do you have to pay for that?
What? Do we have to pay them for me singing it there? I think I'm so out of tune that we could argue in a court of law that it isn't a cover.
Fair enough. Good point. Good point, well made.
How have you been?
Well, it's been busy, but good. We had we took the kids to Port Lympne, where it's called.
Love it.
To the zoo place in Kent.
What an animal-based episode this is.
Oh, non-stop. I fed a giraffe, mate.
Oh, I loved feeding the giraffes.
I fed a giraffe and I fed a bear. And
A bear?
They've got bears there now, brown bears, but you just feed them nuts and apples. Anyway, which is a bit weird. You know, I just wanted to launch a salmon at them. But you feed them nuts and stuff, but there's a big bucket and you just throw it over the fence. And I turn around, my daughter's eating one of the apples. So, that was good. We stayed in the Leopard's Creek by the leopards. It was really pretty.
So you've got like a kind of window onto the leopards?
Yeah, I didn't really see much of the leopards. But that was good though. We went with like another couple. But you have like a bed and then
holiday
in the mezzanine.
Friends?
Holiday friends, actually, from other holidays.
Holiday friends, bloody hell. They're proper friends, your holiday friends now, aren't they?
Yeah, they've got... Well, they're out. We sort of only really see them for holidays, actually. They are, like, strictly holiday friends, because they live a bit further away. They don't just pop round. It's like, if we do, we sort of plan stuff. So yeah, holiday friends that have really, really progressed. But it was, yeah, it was really good. It was funny actually, because they've just been away for a wedding and their kids were the bridesmaids and they were the only sort of kids there. And one of them, it was a birthday when they were out there. And then obviously they got her some presents, but all the people at the wedding were all like late 20s, early 30s, because there was no one else there with kids really. So there was all these like, people to go, oh, it's your birthday, giving her like 20 euros. Because like, it was like having a birthday cake. And they felt like, oh, we don't really know. Because everyone was at this wedding overnight in Malta. So I didn't explain it. So it was in Malta for like 4 or 5 days at this wedding. And they all got to know everyone, like 50 odd, 60 odd people. And then it was like, oh, the bridesmaids, it's one of their birthdays. So they were giving them cash. Go up, I will get yourself some sweets or toy in cash. Yeah. And then she had like hundreds of euros. Where it just because you've got like 60 people there.
Oh my,
you wouldn't
word.
Normally have 60 people near you. And you would just throw a 10 or 20 quid at a kid and go, oh, you do it. And just build up. And then, bless her though, when was it, Paul Lynch went, oh, what, I got extra money for my birthday, so I want to get the girls something from the shop. She's really sweet, so it's really kind of her.
Of course she bloody is. She's like Richie Rich.
I know, it's a bit like Branson. She's eight, and then her younger sister, who's five, I think, was they were bridesmaids, and it got to, they had to walk down the aisle, and then I think she got a bit shy, and she went, I'm not doing it. She refused to walk down the aisle as a bridesmaid.
Oh, God.
So, and literally, the bride and is waiting to go.
Oh no.
And it's holding it up now. She's refusing to walk.
My hand is going now, Rob. My hand is going now with stress.
I'm not going. Anyway, eventually the mum went, if you walk down the aisle, I'll buy you the Barbie dream house.
No.
And she walked.
She's absolutely played her. She's absolutely played her.
This is because they're quite expensive and she's wanted it for ages and they keep saying like maybe a Christmas.
This is why, Rob, you can't negotiate with terrorists because once they know...
Exactly, they're done for.
You're done, yeah.
She also got a helicopter home as well from Malta.
I think that is a good email in. Tell us what is the worst bit of bribery you've ever done. With your child. Can I just give you an update, a holiday update?
Go on.
Tom Crane, who we interviewed a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
They wanted to go on holiday abroad. They were about to put the holiday and then they went to check their baby. They had to get a passport. Obviously, you can't get passports for love or money at the moment. Couldn't get an appointment. Had to cancel the holiday. Eventually, got an appointment. Sort the holiday out. Get the birth certificate out. They've misspelled his surname on the birth certificate. They can't get a passport. I'm not winding you up.
So what have they spent built Crane?
Without an eye. Because the computers went down when they were doing it. So the guy copied it out and said, I'll type it into a computer later.
Idiot.
And then obviously when the guy's transferred it from handwriting to computer, he's forgotten the eye.
So now they have to re-get the birth certificate done?
Yeah.
Depol?
They're going, they've got to change the name by default, I suppose. They're going to, and then for the rest of your life, they're going to be like, have you ever had your name changed? And you're going to have to fill in so many more forms.
I would have just said, you're a crane without an eye now.
Yeah,
get
exactly.
The passport. Let's get
no
this passport.
People change their surnames all the time. Let's go to Barbados.
Imagine that. Dad, why do I spell my name different? Because I'm bad at admin, and you have to suffer. Oh, that is brutal. So when are they going on holiday?
Yeah, they're going to Centre Parks. Because you don't need a passport.
Oh, it'll be a good... Oh, bless it. Oh, that is so brutal.
But it's not the same,
that's
is
actually
it?
Made
it's
me
not
sad.
The same. Yeah.
It's not the same. The same price in the summer as going abroad. have you enjoyed the Platy Jubes, Josh? I wanted to ask you about this.
Oh, did I tell you I went to a corgi parade?
No! What's that?
So, Columbia Road...
Of course it is. You crazy guys.
Do you want to see a picture of the Corgi parade?
When I used to live in Lewisham, there used to be a few Staffordshire Bull Terrier parades, but that was sort of just by chance. It wasn't organised.
So, I should say, I'm not really a royalist. Well, I'm not.
But you're just into corgis?
But you don't turn down the chance to see a corgi dressed in a crown, do you?
Oh, they are a cute dog, the corgi. So it was just all different corgis going for a walk.
Loads of corgis. I'll show you the video. I mean, the video's not as good as you think it's going to be.
I don't think it's going to be good, Josh. I don't know what
it's
expectations.
Still worse than that.
Okay. We could put it on the...
Well, it's a minute long. We could do an edit of it.
Okay.
It's just a load of corgis walking past.
I Okay.
But...
And you thought, you know what, I'll document this.
Well, on the morning, our friend texted us and he was like, I've just seen that there's going to be a corgi parade on Columbia Road. We had nothing to do. I think if you've got kids with nothing to do and you don't go to a corgi parade, I think you really need to have a look in the mirror as to who you are.
Yeah, yeah, of course. So the parade is very narrow, isn't it? It's just on the pavement.
It's just on the pavement, yeah.
There's a lot of weird footwear. Corgi owners aren't into fashion, are they?
No, they're into corgis.
Yeah, it's just a few corgis walking along. It's quite cute though, isn't it?
It was a lovely morning. I glad I went. That was what we did. That we sort of fly. The flypast goes bang over our house as well because we're in East London.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, well, so that was fun.
I quite enjoy it being called the Platy Jubes. I like that. I thought I'd hate that. I like that.
Yeah.
I don't like Childs calling the Queen Mummy.
No, that's weird.
It really that upsets me. It makes me really like panic.
Yeah, Mummy. That is weird. Yeah, that's...
Now, with Mummy. Mummy. And it's the posh voice as well. Mummy. Yeah, it's horrible, isn't it?
Well, also, I'd say it as well.
Mummy.
Yeah, that's horrible. It's going through me like...
Mummy. And I've realised, I'm not massively into the Jubilee. Like, I don't really watch what's going on. I quite like the nights out. And it's a bit like Star Wars for old mums, isn't it, Jubilee?
Yeah, yeah.
They're into it like, I can't imagine. You know, I can't... Like, same way as, like, 50-year-old blokes love Star Wars. I can't get my head round.
It's how people must look at me during a World Cup and go, what is going on with you?
And no judgment. If you're into it, you're into it. But I just can't get in there. I can't.
No.
Same with Star Wars. I just can't get into it. No. I can't work it out. And I think it's people that love uniforms and stuff. But I just can't get my head in.
It's not for me.
I mean, it's very convenient that Prince Andrew got COVID.
It is very. Do you know what?
Interesting.
It's just.
It's very. What the poor bloke? Will he ever get a break? The poor guy. He's already spent 12 million quid paying a woman not to talk, and now this.
It's been
poor
a bad
guy.
Year. It's been a terrible year for him.
Just think of him. Do you know what I mean? Just think of that poor guy. In other news, I was told, this is a new one, getting my daughter dressed. She didn't want to wear these leggings because they were too dry.
Too dry.
Too dry. I've not had that one before. And I said, do you want me to run them under the tap? She was like, what? I went, well, does mum get you dressed in damp clothes? But what she meant was, I think she meant they were a bit like, you know, it's a bit new and a bit stiff and a bit itchy.
Yeah.
But they would say it was too dry. So I walked them into another room, did nothing to them.
Oh, did you do the old, I've changed it and brought it back?
Yeah, did that. Walked in and out. Another thing that made me laugh on this little trip to Portland was that our holiday friends, their daughter does not eat bananas, hates bananas, but will eat Ella's Deliciously banana pouch that is 100% banana.
Oh, come on now.
Come on. It was so funny. He went, yeah, dad eat bananas. Borrow a banana, won't eat it. This, she'll eat it. I went, what's it? And he went, 100% banana.
That's incredible.
Oh, this is another good one for the journey. They kept on badgering me about how long the journey would be.
It's only about an hour from your house, isn't it?
I know, but they're like me, aren't they? They don't sit still. They're not quiet. So this is a great technique, I said. I said, every time they ask me a question, I slow down. And I go, oh, sorry, girls, I've got to slow down because I'm not concentrating on the road. So every question you ask me, it'll take a minute longer because I've got to go slower now. So what's your question? You can ask me as many questions as you want, but just so you know, every time you ask me a question, it will be an extra minute. So just maybe think if you really need to know the answer.
That's great. 10-mile tail back in Kent?
10 mile. So, and then I'd go, oh, yeah, Daddy, why is that tree green? It's green because the trees are just green. It's going to be 15 minutes now. Daddy, where are my shoes? They're on your feet. 16 minutes now. Daddy, I'm hungry. Not a question, but 17 minutes. So I just did that and it got in their head. And then they calmed down. And then I absolutely stitched up Lou when they said, Daddy, does it add time if we ask Mummy a question? I went, no, because I'll still be concentrating. So Lou got absolutely hammered.
Ah, yes. Yes, Rob.
So it's a good technique.
I'm going to say it. Driving is the absolute win of the two roles. Of the two roles in the car, driving is the win, I think. Because you can hide behind the driving as stressful. Because Rose doesn't drive. She'll listen to this. But I'll be honest. she doesn't realise it isn't that stressful. So I can go, I've really got to concentrate yeah. on this.
Can I have a kick? I've driven all the way here. Can I have a little lie down for 10 minutes just because I've driven, actually, I've driven a car for an hour. So, like, I don't know if you see it, a big bit of metal, about half a tonne. I was operating that machine.
I've done a job which you can do while listening to the radio and also your mind wanders for an hour and you don't even think about you doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it's non-stop. So I need a couple of hours just to catch up. For every hour driving, I need 2 hours upstairs on my own watching TikTok, if that's okay. Thanks. Also, what I like is when we go for a long drive and we stop at the garage, I put the petrol in, Lou goes in and pays and buys snacks, and she hands me food and drinks.
Oh,
and I like
yeah.
that. That's a nice thing, isn't it? Just, oh, do you mind handing me a sandwich? And she gets it out of the packet for me and hands me a sandwich. A bit more egg and bacon sandwich, please, babe. Thanks.
Right, that's good. Yeah, that's... You're quite...
It's got weird now, isn't it?
Charged this morning, Rob.
I am. Well, I was at Nebworth last night. So I went to Nebworth to watch Liam Gallagher. There were so many 50-year-old wreckheads. Oh, my God. Just people like reliving the...
Yeah, what was the kind of demographic?
Stone Island, and then sometimes humans were wearing it. Just all I could see was just a sea of Stone Island. It was basically Stone Island and some people. And bucket hats.
Oh, my God.
Bucket hats as far as the eye can see.
I can't believe I'm saying this. People need to move on from the 90s, Rob.
You'd have no career. You wouldn't sell a ticket.
No,
bucket hats are back in. They're actually back in high fashion.
Are they? Did you do that?
No, this is what... I was speaking to Lou about this, and they were already on their way in, and then I wore it at the football and a lot of other people, and then people started wearing it at the football. So it's basically sort of laddie culture peaked at the same time as the high fashion bucket hat. I don't think I brought it in, but I think I may have nudged it along. Do you know what I mean? Because it went viral as a pisshead. Do you know what, though? Wearing a bucket hat, I think they look fun and cool, but I need to be pissed before I wear it. It's not a sober hat.
No, and now, often, presumably part of the reason you're wearing the bucket hat is because you didn't want to get troubled by people. And now it's your thing, so it draws attention to you.
Yeah, because I wore it because it's the biggest hat you can cover your face with. So, like, I was going to the football, but actually, if anything, it became my calling card.
Exactly.
Oh, no, I've got a calling card. It's basically my catchphrase now. You were pissed at the Euros. Any chicken run of in tonight? Why don't you fuck off? But it's great. It's just great to meet the fans. What's that, mate? Yeah. Why don't you fuck off? Yeah, lovely to meet you, mate. Yeah, it's just great to be around all the guys from the Euros. Here he is, KFC at fucking hell, you and them. Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, man alive.
That's fine, it was great, actually. I don't know why I'm saying that, it was great.
Fair enough.
Should we do some Instagrams and small business shout-outs? Reasons for getting called into school. We was asking about this, weren't we? Hi, guys. I have a story about the phone call parents get from schools. My friend has identical twin boys, and she got a phone call from the nursery to say one of them had been bitten by one of the other children at preschool. He was okay, but they had to inform her. She asked which child had bitten him, and they said, unfortunately, they couldn't tell her that information, but they were dealing with the situation. They never grass a biter.
They're not allowed to tell you.
My friend said she fully understood, but knowing what her twins could be like, she asked whether it was his brother who had bitten him. The nursery again said, sorry, we can't tell you. She said, fine. She got off the phone and a mere 5 seconds later got another phone call from the nursery to say her other son had been bitten by another child at the nursery. She said, I wonder who that could have been. It was exactly as she predicted. He had bitten his brother, and the preschool said that to follow protocol and
that
call each of the children's parents. Totally failing to acknowledge this was the same person.
That is so good.
Vicky from Manchester.
That's absolutely...
That is
brilliant.
A good one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Twin boys must be absolutely mental. Here we got another one. On why parents get called into the school. My mum got called in by my brother's teacher because my brother told his class that my dad had stabbed an owl in the kitchen.
What?
My brother was an owl? My brother was only 6 at the time and is still convinced that it happened 25 years later.
Oh my God.
It definitely didn't. From @FolkestoneGirl. These are great, these. My son was about 12, and in high school in about 1996, I got called in by the head of year. The boy had printed photos of a scantily clad lady and was selling them for £1 each.
Oh, wow.
The school admired his entrepreneurial skills but couldn't allow it to go on. I was absolutely mortified. 12-year-old porn baron. He had detention. I banned the computer for a month, the longest month of my life. So poor old Sue. Oh, wow.
1996 as well.
That would have taken ages really to print off.
Yeah, and he's really nailed, like, the internet early doors.
I think a quid is quite cheap.
Do you think, in 1996?
Well, for how much printer ink is, having a computer and a printer. And he's had to print that off in the front room in 96. That was as big as a fridge, computers, weren't they? Just in the front room, everyone looking.
Heating up in the corner as he prints out a picture of, you know, whoever, Joe Guest.
In the background, just printing off his porn. Just doing some coursework, mummy. There we go. Right, more tired than Josh. Let's finish with a more tired than Josh. I'll do more tired than Josh and finish on a celeb in weird places. Hi, Rob, Josh and Michael. The kids are currently aged 2, 5 and 8, and the youngest is an absolute twat for waking up in the night.
I am in a glorious sleeping position at the moment, Rob.
Really?
Yeah. Do you remember the 2 weeks when your child starts to walk and they're absolutely fucking knackered?
Yes, because they're getting rid of that energy.
And suddenly you're like, this is incredible, but I remembered this happened last time, and then they get used to walking.
Yeah.
He slept till 8:30 this morning.
Oh, just enjoy it. You've earned it.
I know. I'm already worried about missing it.
So that's your problem, isn't it? As soon as you get to Glastonbury, you're going to be thinking about it finishing.
Oh, don't, Rob. I was thinking about that the other day. I was thinking, so what am I going to look forward to then? It's like Christmas. I used to cry on Christmas night every year because I was sad it was over.
Oh, Josh, you're so sweet.
I couldn't deal with it.
Yeah, it's so hard to be in the moment, isn't it? But it's so what you have to do.
I was thinking, like, the moment Paul McCartney plays that last song, and I know what it's going to be because I've obviously looked at all his set lists on tour because I'm all over that kind of boring stuff.
So what's his final song?
He plays the final three tracks of Abbey Road.
What are they? Should I know that?
It's Golden Slumbers, followed by Carry That Weight, and then a song called The End.
And yeah, see, I don't know. I want, like, Hold My Hand and all them ones.
Yeah, he does all. He's already does knocked those ones out. Yeah, he does.
They're so quick, though. They're only 2 minutes, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. He's got to fill 2.5 hours, mate.
Help! I need some more songs for this long set, because these are 2 minutes.
You're
all right,
very tuneful this morning.
Am I? Do you know what? It's Liam Gallagher, isn't it? I watched him and thought, I reckon I can sing. I'm joking, it was good. It was good. So this is someone who's got no sleep and you're gloating about your sleep and going to Glastonbury. Here we go.
Sorry.
So the youngest is a twat for waking up in the night. One night this week, I basically drove home from work on fumes as I didn't have a chance to stop for diesel or the nursery kids club would be shut. So I got to my usual petrol station for 6:30 a.m. the next day on the way to work so I'd be on time. I went to the first pump, tried to get diesel out, and the pump didn't work. Tried another pump and only got a bit out, then stopped again. The pump was making a weird noise as I was spilling diesel all down myself and on the floor.
Oh, my God.
I was getting increasingly ragey and shouting and swearing, fucking come on! I only had 3 hours sleep. So I got in the car and drove to the next pump, or I did the same. Then another. Eventually, I marched in the station and started kicking off proper can I see the manager stuff. Then it transpired I had 8 to 10 different transactions of diesel to pay for, ranging from 89p up to £3.40. Then sent a woman out in a Hi-Vis to see what the issue was, and she had the same problem as me. I thought, great, finally they're going to listen to me. She said, I think your tank is full.
No. Oh, my God.
I argued with her.
God.
So she's covered in diesel and she's trying to fill up a full tank. I argued with her, then got in the car and turned on the ignition. Full tank. Turns out my husband filled it up without me knowing the night before, and I'd full-on imagined the empty fuel light when I got in the car.
Oh, my God.
Now, that's not living in the moment, isn't it? That is living in your head, mortified, from a very tired Claire in Manchester. And when I got into work in a children's hospital, bless her, people kept saying to me, can you smell petrol all day? Because she was covered in petrol.
You surely that's a safety issue, isn't it?
I think you've got a Claire in Manchester. Tiredness is not an excuse to be covered in petrol and then, you know, go to a children's hospital. That's not allowed, Claire. Poor Claire.
Oh, my word.
Brutal. Right. Celebs in weird places?
Inject it into my veins, Rob.
On a secondary school trip to Italy, my friends and I spotted Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen during our visit to Pompeii. We found this a lot more exciting than the actual place. At the time, we found it unbelievable that he asked us to leave him alone. But now, looking back, it was fair enough. I got a picture with him somewhere I took on my disposable camera. To this day, I still think of him whenever I see anything about Pompeii. Kate, mum to Brindley, 2.5, and Thea, 9 weeks. I think you do have to, it's a cross you bear. If you're going to be in the public eye, you do have to just have photos. I don't mind a photo as long as it's quick, but not if I'm like, to be fair, when I was at I went to Frozen. Did I tell you I went to see Frozen with the girls?
I saw it on your wife's Instagram.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing. Bit of a slow start, though. I loved it. It's a make. Samantha Barks is so good. It's, like, different. Mm. Everyone else was great. You know, I've been to loads of theatre shows, and I can sing well. Samantha Barks is just a level above. It's like Letizia at Southampton.
Yeah, well, let's hope it doesn't go the same way.
Yeah, I don't think she's got those views. That's a bad example. It was like when Bergkamp arrived at Arsenal, just differently.
Right, yeah. She took a while to settle in.
Yeah, yeah, and she don't fly. Doesn't fly.
Yeah.
But it's a bit slow because they have to set up the story. But I felt like, who the fuck has gone to see Frozen? And it's their first time of seeing Frozen.
Yeah, come on now.
Surely, you know, like the amount of times my daughter said, "Where's Olaf?" I was like, "Fuck knows, but we need him soon." that was really good. Someone, as I was rushing through with my daughters through like the crowds, like, can I get a picture? I was a bit like, you can, but we're trying to get out of a busy building here. But I don't mind pictures, but I think it's rude to say no unless
my daughter can't quite understand why people would want a picture with me, Rob.
My young eldest is getting a bit protective now. She sort of wants to hold my hand, and I go like, I'll have a photo, and then I'd sort of have to go away from them, and it feels like I don't want them in the photo, but I don't want them in the photo, but I don't want them to think I don't want them in a photo. Yeah. But I don't want just strangers having photos of like all my kids, so it's difficult. But I when I'm on my own, I think it's all, you know, all bets are off. But if I'm with my kids in the moment, it's hard to be in the moment when you're with your kids in the moment, and then you have to have a picture, and it's more because it's unfair on the kids, and I accept that you have to do it because you're in the public eye. But when I'm on my own, you know, all day every day, it's just sometimes when you're like, once it was Christmas Eve and I was doing the big shot with both kids. I don't know how Lou managed to wangle that.
Come
I
think she
because there's that thing in there in your house. You go, you could someone. Does the shop or someone tidies the house. That's what we end up doing all weekend.
To be fair, she's made you a cup of tea, Rob, so it's why not? Yeah,
a cup of mulled wine. But I had a one-year-old. It was when I had one kid. I had a one-year-old in... Because we feel, you tidy the house. If I take the one-year-old, if I strap them in the trolley, they're quite easy. As long as I've got the snacks for them or an iPad or whatever, I can do the Christmas shop. It was Christmas Eve. I was doing the big shop and someone was like, can I have some photo? I went, yeah, can I? And I had a quick photo and it was like, oh, God. So, yeah, you know, Jimmy Carter. I'm like, it's fucking Christmas Eve. I ain't got a turkey here. Fucking it. Like, I've got a one-year-old. I'm on a limit here. Like, this is not a relaxed chat environment, please. But, Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen apparently was a bit harsh on there, a bit salty, but, you know, he might have had a bad week.
Bit of fun.
Right. Small business shout-outs.
I've got a good one. Also, we forgot to say who those people were, Rob. Michael's just alerted me to it.
Oh, what, at the beginning?
Yeah. We got so distracted. Finally, this is... My 7-year-old and 4-year-old twins. So it's two sets of twins it was, Rob.
Fuck
at the start.
Hell.
Thank you, guys. You rock. Katie, a Manc living in London.
Two sets of twins.
Two sets of twins.
Can I say what... Can I... You know what I think that is? I think that's horrible. Is that too harsh?
No. As an existence, do you mean? Or yeah.
When they're young, I think it'll be lovely when they're all grown up. But at babies, if you had... Imagine having a 2-year-old twins and then
I don't
a
know how. I don't know how people do twins. I do not know. I know we come back to it a lot. But man alive.
Right, here we go. I've got a small business shout-out. We love the show and it'll be great if you give a new business shout-out to Bertie's Pet Store in Portishead, Bristol. The store is named after our son's Whippet Bertie, selling a wide range of pet accessories, food, treats, natural products. Thank you very much, Jenny Perry. That's bertiespetstore.co.uk.
Here we go. Hi, I'm the founder and CEO of a national charity, The Together Project, and a mum of two young kids. Hope you don't mind.
Bore off your goody two shoes.
No, I'll be honest with you, Rob.
I'm joking. I'm obviously joking.
Rose read this and cried.
Oh, fuck. What have I done? I've got to read it out then. I'm sorry, everyone.
Crafting connections pairs children with care home residents to form heartwarming friendships by exchanging pictures and letters in the post, spreading joy across the UK.
Oh, that's nice.
Too late, Rob. Too late.
Oh, God. Oh, that's now you know what that is, lovely. Fuck that. Fuck Bertie's shop. Fuck you, Bertie, and your stupid shop. Selling the Portishead. I thought that was a band.
It is a band. They're named after the place. Each child is matched with an older person and receives an arts and crafts pack every month. Both the child and older person create pictures and fill out questionnaires and post them back to us to swap, with everyone receiving their new friend's masterpieces in the post the next pack that follows that month. They also receive a friendship folder to store everything, creating a lovely record of their friendship as the months go by. All the info and details on how to join can be found at www.craftingconnections.org.uk. There you go.
Nice. So that is nice, isn't it? So basically they pair up young kids with the older people in care homes and then they swap art and stuff.
Pen friend stuff, yeah.
That is lovely.
Is a lovely charity.
A lovely charity and a lovely idea.
Here he goes.
I'm just saying, at what point did Rose cry? Is she okay?
Oh, there's more. There's a picture. I tell you what, there's a picture of a 5-year-old and an 89-year-old woman holding their pictures.
Fair enough. Okay. He needed something else to hit off. Yep. And that would be the photo, I imagine. Fair enough.
But there's not even an 89-year-old woman, Rob. There's just a picture of a bench with a name on it.
With the picture on it. Okay. No, that's too hard to... We are horrible fucking people. We are horrible people. We are comedians are horrible. We all go, oh, it's just because I'm a comedian. I say, we've got no empathy. I'm not some sort of robot. Jesus Christ. The amount of piss taken I've taken out of your cat that's on its last legs,
yeah,
but
exactly.
Hopefully it'll be all right.
Too right, Rob.
Poor old Beryl.
Do you know what? I'm worried about Beryl because she's currently corresponding with a kitten as well, so that's a bad sign.
Tiny little pictures, little paw print.
Oh God, I'm going to cry now, Rob. It's going to be like My Neighbours the Dumplings all over again.
Oh no, My Neighbours the Dumplings.
In My Neighbours the Dumplings, where I was like, I'm going to order two beers because I can't emotionally deal with this.
Do down one and drink one normally.
Yeah.
Oh, that is a real sign I'm in a bad place when I do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll see you on Friday, Josh.
See you on Friday. Bye.
Bye.